I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 503. This is your host Godfrey, aka Danny. So yeah, we're recording live here in New York City, and we have a special guest. Please present yourself.
This is Jonathan Davila, former GTR member, a.k.a. Butter. Happy to be back.
Butter, it's been a long time.
It has. It's been
a very long time. How you been, man? It's been a while.
I'm doing well. I don't know if the listeners remember, I left the crew back in 2012, I think, to start graduate school. I went to Full Sail, got my master's degree.
Yes.
I'm a full-fledged video game producer now.
Making moves. But we got to talk about that later on, though.
Sure.
Definitely got to talk about that.
Definitely. You
know? Yeah. And also, we have another special guest here.
This is Dan Hevia from Project510.com, LifeSet.com, and Twitter.
Yeah.
The world of Twitter.
I always used to see you at E3. Of course, us going to like different appointments, but always in the Michael Pachter party. Always.
Yes. Yeah. That's the absolute best party of E3.
Hell yeah. It's very laid back, chill, but it's, of course, the best one, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a wargaming rave. It's just very relaxed and everybody.
You know, I went to their party twice for the past few years. Not a fan.
It's the only time I fear for my life.
If it's so crazy. It's too much for me, man. Maybe it's because I'm getting older or whatever. I mean, I don't know, man. It's too much.
Yeah, as I've gotten older, I go to those parties, and I'm like, this one I'm going to leave a little bit early, but Michael's party...
Legit. Shout out to Michael Pachter, man.
Yeah, great dude.
Yeah, head over to Gamertag Radio, listen to our past episodes, or head over to play.it, send us your feedback and all that good stuff, man. Also, share it with your friends, right, guys? I think they should share it everywhere. Post it on Twitter, social media, everywhere, man. And also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail at gamertagradio.com. By the way, right now, the guys, Pete and Paris and London, lucky punks, they were there hanging out. And they're going to have some content coming up later this week. And it's pretty cool. I heard they recorded a couple episodes over there. Lots of good stuff coming, man. Lots of good stuff. So shout out to them. And peace, please stop sending me these pictures from different bars in London. Getting me all jealous and stuff, man, you know. But we're live here in New York, man. And I know you guys are excited for the release of The Taken King for those Destiny fans out there.
Yes.
Let's talk about that, man, because I know we were having a conversation before we came upstairs, and you were asking me, Danny, why you stopped playing Destiny? And let me go back. First of all, a lot of games came out around that time. I think Forza Horizon 2 came out, and a couple of the other ones like came out during the holidays. And I just got hooked with those games, and then eventually everybody was like ahead of me, like level wise. I was like, I don't know, I don't want to go back. And some had already finished the raid, and it was like, who else am I going to play with? You know what I'm saying? So I just basically stopped, and then the whole grinding thing was like a pain in the butt, so I couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So, but I heard they made a lot of changes throughout like the whole year, right? Better, they made like what type of kind of updates they made?
Yeah,
Bungie wise,
they threw in a bunch of different content. There was two sets of DLC. There was basically two sets of DLC where they added a raid, they added different modes like the Trials of Osiris and all these different things where they were adding content.
Yeah.
But the Taken King itself changes the whole game. It takes the game. It's funny because Kotaku kept talking about like, every time that they reported on Destiny, they were like, okay, Destiny is a game that's in beta. and it's in beta for a year. And now, even with the Taken King releasing, they're like, Destiny has come out of beta because it's that good. It's kind of weird because mm-hmm. the original Destiny story, a lot of people were like, I don't even know what was really going on, and it was about that grind, and a lot of it was putting in work. Mm-hmm. Now, I've put in a lot of work on The Taken King since it came out.
Yeah, you finished the story very quickly,
right? Yeah, I finished the story. I'm a level 40, and my light is going up like crazy. I kind of... The addiction's real. The addiction's real.
There's back.
And, the story that they added now, it's not crazy long, but it's enough to get you hooked, and it has a lot more humor with it. Mm-hmm. Peter Dinklage isn't the ghost anymore, and it's... They changed everything up in such a way that it adds to the game and makes it almost a whole new experience. Mm-hmm. There's no more leveling up with light, which took a year.
That
and
took
half.
Forever. Yeah, took
it's,
forever.
You know, I would literally. There was times where I put down the game for a week or two at a time, mm-hmm. where I was like, I just can't, because it was like, I'd play for 8 hours and it's like your light would go up a little centimeter, and you're like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I was a level 34 when The Taken King came out. I was a level 40 by 6 hours later.
That's really fast. Yeah. So, like, for me, I'm level 26, 27.
Oh, so you'll be up in no time.
Yeah. And I could start playing some of their missions. Yeah. I have to be level 25 and up, right?
Yeah. So, okay. The only thing that you got to keep in mind, though, and this is something I don't think a lot of people realize this, have you bought the DLC from the first year?
I bought the season pass or whatever.
Okay, if you bought one of the map packs or one of the DLCs, you have to buy the second DLC to get the Taken King. You got to have everything. You got to have everything.
I don't know.
That $500 million investment, the Activision's getting it back. They're making sure that they're set.
Okay, I see what... Man, so I'm afraid if they're going to start doing that for future content too, that's kind of messed up.
I don't know. I mean, the $60 version has
everything.
Yeah,
the game.
So they don't have it separate at all. You have to buy the whole. Oh, damn. Okay. Well, what were you going to say?
Well, I mean, they do have a little separate. It's a little hidden in there, right? So if you had, so in your case, you had the season pass already.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's a $40 digital only Taken King expansion. So that's the only way that you can just pay for the Taken King and the Taken King alone. Anyone else who's jumping in, who's concerned about, like, oh man, do I have to shell out $40 for the Taken King and then another $40 for the two expansions, don't really have anything to worry about, because if you buy a physical copy of the Taken King or if you buy the Taken King expansion, that's not the standalone $40 version, you're paying the standard $60 that you would for a new game. You're getting vanilla, you're getting the first two expansions, and you're getting the Taken King.
Okay.
So, I mean,
they're lowering the barrier of entry for everybody, pretty much. But they will make sure that you have to have everything, and you put in many ways it's better that way, mm-hmm. because if you're like, I'm a big campaign fanatic. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't get down with multiplayer because I'm just not good. You know, I can't play against other people. They're bad. I can play against a computer. I can whoop them.
Do you play the Crucible a lot? Or?
I play the Crucible when I feel bad about myself. because it's just such a horrible thing where, like, my friends will run around, they're having a blast, and I'm like, I got shot again. Yeah. I got shot. Like, I'm just bad with multiplayer.
If you have the right people with you, it's legit.
And then you go on a roll and you're like, and then they change up the teams and you're like, yo, I'm logging off. Like, mm-hmm. I'm good. Mm-hmm. But, like, having the vanilla and everything together, all the stuff, for campaign people, it allows you to kind of see the progression of the entire game. And it allows you to see it kind of in a way that you can actually upgrade fast, so you're having more fun. Mm-hmm. They have something called a Spark for all new players, and actually every player gets it. Where if you create an alternate player, you create a new player, you can use that consumable, and they're automatically a level 25. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you have to start at 1, and then you're fighting and fighting and fighting while everybody else is at 40, and you just look like the schmuck. Mm-hmm. You're doing well with it.
Mm. See, here's the crazy thing. Like, I know a lot of blogs and gaming sites gave it, like, a very low review when it first came out last year. But they still managed to release news updates like Kotaku and especially Polygon. Polygon, I think, gave it like a 6.5 or something like that. They were still posting news. And there's even, IGN had a low score too, but they also created a podcast just for Destiny. It's like,
yeah,
you guys trash the game, but you're still talking about it daily. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, I mean,
it's a weird phenomenon, right? Like,
it is kind of weird. Yeah.
6.5, 7.0 kind of game.
Paris calls it the best 6.5 game ever made.
Well, if you look at it, it's one of those games where you really can't even review it because they said, you know, this is a game that we're going to be doing for 10 years. And it's like, that's a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And it will be kind of funny 10 years from now if you look back at those sites and look at what they're talking about then, as opposed to that little morsel of what they got when the original game released. Mm-hmm. Because even now, it's just completely, completely different. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised that they started a podcast and they post all that news, because when I say the addiction's real, it's real for a lot of people. And you know what? It's funny. What was it? GameSpot did a video. Danny O'Dwyer did a video about Destiny and how it employs a lot of phenomenon from Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the gamer's roulette wheel, because there's so many things where you're going back and you're grinding and you're grinding because you want that drop. You want that, and there is that, mm-hmm, such that addictiveness to it, mm-hmm, that it does not surprise me. And they'll be making money on this game for years and years. Because I know that a lot of my friends were like, you know what, I'm done after this DLC. And then the Taken King hype started happening, and they were like, I'm ready.
Do you see Bungie releasing content, new content, like maybe by spring of this year? I mean, next year coming up?
I mean, if they keep to their plan, I think their plan for every year of Destiny is, you know, major release, and then two smaller releases,
yeah.
Dark Below, House of Wolves.
Which this year came out when? Do you remember when the other ones came out? It was like early this year.
So I think Vanilla launched September last year. Wow, mm-hmm, it's been a year already.
Yeah. Time flies, man.
And then I think the Dark Below came out March, around the holidays, right? Before the holidays?
Yeah, it might have been around like January, February.
Mm-hmm. And then House of Wolves was like March or April, something like that.
And I remember the gamers were like, we need new content. It was like, wait, we got to give it some time. Like,
yeah.
You know, the game just came out literally like a couple months ago, like relax, you know, and then they started adding the new ones. But the ones that people were like excited for was the raid, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wonder how the raid is going to be for the Taken King. Like, are they going to make it more difficult? Is it going to be more challenging? More puzzles? Like, what? Or the bosses? Like, how that's going to work out? You know what I'm saying? What you guys heard about that?
So
about that
stuff? The raid actually came out a couple days ago. It launched 3 days after the Taken King came out.
Okay.
I haven't played it myself yet.
I haven't played this game, so that's what I'm like.
So I'm definitely not ready, but from what I've heard, even on Gamertag Radio itself, when Deep was on here.
Paris,
so it sounds like Bungie developed the hard mode of this raid first this time around, mm-hmm, and then they scaled it back for normal mode. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, I'm assuming this is going to be the biggest challenge. Like, it's going to be more challenging than the Vault of Glass. It's going to be more challenging than Crota.
Is it going to be the first guy that passed the raid? You think they're going to be the ones passing it again? That was dude. I remember it was like it was a crazy day. I was on Twitch watching different videos of people trying to pass the raid because they wanted to be the first clan passing it. So I want to see how that's going to work for this one, you know, like once it's officially out.
It's crazy that people will, that's like one of their goals is you got to be the first. And like I was talking with like the people that we play, we have a clan, you know, quote unquote a clan. It's like, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, but I don't really have a clan. You know, everybody's like trying to like get times together to play. And I'm like, I got to put my daughter to sleep and he's got to put his daughter, this just doesn't work. But, whenever we're not even ready to go into that yet, for a lot of people, it's one of those kind of things where you wait for that one person that you guys kind of know and you play with every now and then that's done the raid to kind of walk you through and be like, oh, you gotta go here, you gotta, because like with the Vault of Glass, even just opening the vault, I wouldn't have been able to figure that out for 5-6 hours where it was like stand on each pod and no. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that I understand at all. So mm-hmm. I know that they're making it a lot more complicated. When I talked to people from Bungie at E3, they were like, this is something that's going to blow you away.
Luke and Deej.
Yeah, it's cool, like peeps. They weren't playing around where they, you know, Vault of Glass was really, really hard, and you could tell they put a lot of thought into it. Mm-hmm. Crota was less so, especially with kind of the glitches to it that you can just kind of get through it really quick. Me and a group of guys did like a speed run of Crota. It took us like 45 minutes to get from beginning to end, and that was on hard. Mm-hmm. Vault of Glass, I still don't even try a speed run because I would just weep openly. So with this, it's something where I think it's going to take a lot of time. And it's something that I'm not ready for yet.
Oh, so let me ask you guys a question. You know, Activision sent me a review code to us and stuff. So I already downloaded My Taken King already. Why I should go back and play the game? Besides, let's say I haven't purchased the game. Convince me why I should purchase this and go back to Destiny. Go with you first, John.
So I mean, to start off, first of all, this is Bungie, right? This isn't a studio that's gonna just completely ignore all the criticism it's received. Mm-hmm. From the moment Destiny Vanilla launched last year, they've been doing their homework. They have a whole user research department there that does, you know, a ton of analytics. They're getting player feedback. They take player feedback very seriously. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, just without knowing anything about The Taken King, and if I didn't know anything about The Taken King, I would at least start off by telling you, go by faith. Like, Bungie knows their stuff. They're an excellent AAA studio. They're going to take your feedback, and they're going to make things right with you.
Okay.
Knowing what I know about The Taken King, though, I mean, one of the biggest complaints, which we already talked about, was leveling up was a pain, right?
Yeah.
You had to play this raid on hard mode. You had to cross your fingers and pray that you got that drop, that helmet, to finally bring you up to level 30. That's over and done with, right? Leveling up is strictly based on XP. You play through the story. You play through strikes. Whatever it is, your XP is going to level you up to 40. So that's first complaint that people really complain about taking care of. Mm-hmm. Next thing they changed up in Taken King is people hated the gear drops, how rare, how difficult it was to get.
Very.
Legendary engrams, how difficult it was. Even when you did get that engram, sometimes you'd take it to the Cryptarch and he'd completely screw you over. And there were memes online with the Cryptarch with the troll face on. So they fixed that. Now you're getting drops constantly. You're getting good gear that's going to help bring your light level up so you can do the harder content. Mm-hmm. Moving on to PvP, there are new modes. So if you got bored of just doing Crucible, if you got bored of doing just regular deathmatch, if you got bored of doing Control, there's some excellent new modes like Rift, which is a fun spin. I almost call it Destiny Ball because it's kind of like basketball, but Destiny.
Okay. Because I think Halo had something like that, but like soccer. You remember that back in the days? The Halo, was it Halo or somebody created that? Was it a Fantasy Star?
Oh, I can't remember.
I know it was one of those games. I don't know, but go. Keep
I
on.
I realize basketball is not a good example. Maybe more like rugby because you're grabbing this thing called a spark. The spark, right? And it's in the middle of the map. So first, your teams are fighting over who's going to be able to grab that spark. Mm-hmm. Whoever does then needs to charge the other team's base and dunk the spark in the other team's rift.
Okay.
And it's exhilarating. It's a mode that, I mean, I don't play a lot of shooters, but I used to back in the day. It's a mode that I've never seen before. It's keeping PvP really fresh. And then there's Mayhem mode, which have you gotten a chance to try that out yet?
I played it for a little bit, and it's, as the name says, it's Mayhem. Absolutely insane. You're talking like heavy weapons. You're talking.
How many players in total for that?
12.
It's still 6v6, right?
Oh, yeah. It's still? Yeah. Okay. All right.
And that's psychotic. And then Rift, Rift is the one that a lot of people have really, really drawn to. And there is a lot of that, like that dunking element, that basketball element to it. Even if you on Bungie's forums, somebody took the Jordan logo and they changed it.
Did they do that?
Yeah, it's the coolest thing.
Nice.
And that PvP, the way that they've established those new modes, is something that could draw you in if that's something that you like. In terms of the drops, I can verify the drops are 10 times better. By the time that I finished the campaign, I had legendary helmet, legendary greaves, legendary chest piece, legendary auto rifle, legendary sidearm. So the drops were coming fast and furious, and there's a little bit of confusion because you're so used to green being the lower level, then blue, then purple. So a lot of times, like, a green would come in, but that green is better than your old exotic weapon. So you really have to kind of like kind of do the math and look at things and use your vault to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. But I would say if you're looking to get back into it, if you're looking to pick it up, not only is Bungie a studio that's not going to let this slide or let anything slide, mm-hmm. Activision as a publisher, they're not going to let stuff slide either. Any of the IPs that they work with, they put a lot of money and time behind. You know, mm-hmm. like Call of Duty itself has an insights crew that goes around the world talking to Call of Duty players, seeing what they like, seeing what they don't like. They're not going to sleep on this, especially with that investment over 10 years.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money.
Yeah. All of their IPs, they make sure that they're like well-oiled machines, that they're on point.
Even Skylanders.
Yeah, even Skylanders. Even Skylanders. If you think about, if somebody came to you years ago and said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take Skylanders, we're going to take these little characters, you're going to put them on a thing, they're little cartoon characters, they're going to go into a game, you're going to go,
yeah,
all right, whatever.
Yeah. But look, it blew up. Like, see,
four years
Disney,
and $3 billion
Disney
later.
Disney copying them and everything. Yeah,
yeah Disney,
yeah.
Lego Dimensions.
Lego Dimensions,
you know,
right.
Like,
you're right.
Like, they don't play. They take very calculated risks, and they make sure that they work out. Mm-hmm. And even IPs that, like, you're like, what are you even talking about? Like, they released a Duck Dynasty game. Nobody even knows that.
I seen it, but
I guarantee you they turned a profit on that game.
You think so?
I guarantee you.
I don't think, I'm going to do some research.
It's a Duck Dynasty game. How much money can you actually really spend on developing it?
And they released it during the time it was very controversial, like with the whole show.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we have a couple more things we're going to talk about. PlayStation VR, all that good stuff. So Tokyo Game Show, we have a couple of things here. Yeah, no?
Yeah, Game Show went on last week, and
we'll talk
some
about
news.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Got an injured player? No problem. It's like a new season every week, so you're never stuck with the same players. And get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. You could turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Just pick your players, pile up the points, pick up your cash, that's it. Believe me, you've never experienced football like this before. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. And like we've been telling you guys all season, folks, NFL is finally here. It's football time. We're ready to go. You don't have to be stuck in your typical fantasy draft leagues. You can do DraftKings, and every week is a new week. So I'm super excited to get this going now. So let's get into some DraftKings. But before you do, hurry over to DraftKings now and use our promo code GAMERTAG to play for a free shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Enter GAMERTAG for a free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. Once again, DraftKings.com.
This is GAMERTAG Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here at GamerTag Radio. Remember, head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it to listen to our past episodes, and make sure to, you know, subscribe and share with your friends. Review us on iTunes, subscribe on Stitcher. If you have the beta for Spotify, which I have, it's pretty cool. You can subscribe there too, and all that good stuff, man. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Tokyo Game Show has been going on now. And the announcements have been kind of okay. There's nothing like groundbreaking like E3, you know. But the thing that people have been talking about the most is the PlayStation Morpheus, the VR. Now, the official name is PlayStation VR. Not excited about the VR stuff yet. I'm still not convinced.
I don't know, man.
Are you guys excited? Because I'm not really.
Somebody gave up naming that thing. They were like, I don't know.
First of all, the name was whatever. The project name was. And now, as a PlayStation VR, I don't know. Like, I feel that I'm okay with just the PlayStation 4 I'm okay with that. I have, you know, some good games coming out in 2016. Gravity Rush 2, they announced for the PlayStation 4. I'm excited for that. Because I played the one for the Vita. But I feel like, I don't know, I found it like a gimmick, man. Like, the whole VR stuff. And like, I remember a couple years ago, PlayStation was really promoting the whole 3D gaming. This is, like, the big next thing. It failed. Then they released a PlayStation Vita. Come on, it failed. I think it's going to be the same thing with the VR stuff, man. I don't know. I'm just not convinced, man. Like, I don't feel like going to the store and buying it until I don't see the right games. Because right now, what they announced, not mind-blowing at all, for me. So
I feel like we've been here before. Like, I grew up in the 90s. I went to arcades, and I've been told about 3D. I used to wear those 3D paper glasses, not like the high-tech ones that they have now. I used to do the VR thing when you know, you were in the arcade and you were rolling around in a circle, like, trying to... I feel like we're kind of rehashing old things. The tech is cool. I'm not going to say, like, I played PlayStation VR, Morpheus, whatever it is. I used the Oculus. The things are cool. I don't think that it's going to have the impact on gaming that people think that it will. I think that it's going to be used more for social aspects.
See, the social side, I can see that.
Yeah,
right?
Visiting your family and stuff like that.
Or like Skype or video calls and stuff. That's cool. But
I'm a very like sensory kind of person. If you tell me, put on this big helmet over your eyes and then throw on these big headphones and boom, you're in Hawaii. No, I'm not. I'm in a room with a big helmet on.
But you're not flying what's the name of the creator of Oculus? Time magazine? He was on the cover.
Yeah.
That he was like flying. It was like at the beach.
Yeah, there was like
it was so weird. And awkward.
And that
like,
was the perfect example of just sitting there and going, there's nothing that could look more stupid than a person
That looks very like
I'm cheesy. The kind of person, you give me a contact lens. Give me a contact lens and some earbuds. And then maybe I can deal with it. But you have to have that whole sensory issue. Like, you know, I played not a bobsledding, it was on-road bobsledding or whatever with Project Morpheus. And you're going and you're swaying from side to side. You're laying on a beanbag chair. It's not the same thing. Like, I don't feel at danger at all. And I'm passing through cars that if I went under this car, I would eat the bumper and die. So what is the actual reality of the situation?
Jonathan, buddy, you're kind of excited for the VR stuff, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think I feel the exact opposite as you guys. I mean, I get this is something we've kind of seen before, obviously not in the same way, and when we did see it back then, it was a huge flop. But, I mean, I've spoken to some people in the industry about it who are working on some of these things behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of believers in there. I mean, folks like Warren Spector, just read a headline on Kotaku about Warren Spector completely turning around his opinion on this thing, and he's pretty excited about it. So, first of all, that's exciting me, that people in the industry are seeing things, they're developing things, and everyone seems really excited about what VR can do to push this medium forward. The other thing that really gives me high confidence about it is the folks who are working on this technology, they understand that if they don't get it right this time, it's already flopped once. Mm-hmm. If they don't get it right this time, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to flop again, and people are never going to take VR seriously again. And that's going to be a huge detriment to this medium, because this is kind of the next step, right? From playing on your TV to actually feeling like you're there at, you know, in the football stadium or on Venus doing the Vault of Glass. So, you know, a lot of product development, a lot of engineering for years has gone on to get these things right. So you're concerned about wearing this thing and it feeling clunky. You know, that's a problem that I'm sure at least one of these companies is going to have to solve, and I feel confident they will solve it, right? Because you want to put that thing on and completely forget that you have it on, right?
What about the games? That's the thing that I'm worried about.
Right.
I'm not spending $200-$300 on a device, or even some, it could, might be even more.
Content is king, definitely.
Content is king, and it's like, you know, everybody's hype about it, but why? Because it just looks cool, like, where's the games? You know, that's the thing that I'm worried about.
Well, I think the first step is getting it to feel right? So you got to be able to put that thing on. It has to be comfortable. You have to immediately kind of get into this zone where you, first of all, forget that you have it on and you're immersed in the content, right? Mm-hmm. content's the next step. So solve the engineering issues. You know, there were issues with people getting motion sickness. I felt it myself when I tried out the Oculus for the first time. You know, it was uncomfortable.
Well, that was two years ago?
That was 2 years ago, right? And that was one of the big hurdles, right? So how can we have this product out there if people are going to put it on and start feeling like they need to throw up, you know? So that's one problem that needs to be solved. The comfort thing needs to be solved. And now content. We need to worry about, is there going to be content that I'm actually going to want to strap this thing onto my head and play? I think Sony has announced some stuff that could be really cool. I forgot the name of the game. It's not coming to mind right now, but they've announced it already. There's one where I think it takes place in the future, and you're playing as this female protagonist, and they're like robotic dinosaurs roaming the land, and it's open world. I mean, that right off the bat sounds like a world that I want to be in and be walking around in and feeling like I could feel it and touch it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have seen some cool content. We'll have to actually play it for ourselves as more PlayStation VR gets closer to the launch date. But yeah. I'm feeling really good about it. I feel like the companies involved are really, really. I mean, you're talking
Square
Sony.
Square Enix, didn't they announce Final Fantasy for the PlayStation VR?
Did they?
I
don't recall.
That Tokyo?
Yeah, that was Tokyo Game Show. I'm not sure. I gotta look up. But let's just say a game like Final Fantasy comes out or Uncharted. Like, I don't mind those quick games because you play, you're done, right? But those games are, like, pretty long. I just don't see myself playing it for hours. I just can't. I don't see myself. I like those quick, like, even, like, the mobile games. You know, those quick games and you're done, you know?
Or multiplayer games.
Or multiplayer, like, yeah.
Because, I mean, if any product that kind of uses VR for their marketing at any point, like even, I think it's, like, Doritos or Taco Bell has a commercial out right now where there's, like, three dudes using VR and they're all playing Call of Duty because everybody knows Call of Duty and, like, one of them, like, dives over the couch and, like, all the stuff like that.
What a crazy mess in that house.
Like, if you think about it, like, a multiplayer game like that might be better off for people versus a campaign where you're, you know, if it's got to be something quick, you know, you can dive into multiplayer for a half hour to for 45 minutes. But if you're going on like a detailed campaign, like if you think about like Uncharted, like how long would you be like walking and going through all the different motions and then, you know, what happens on a cutscene, like, you know, stuff like that. It would be interesting to see how they develop stuff for it.
Yeah, but I know you mentioned that there's a lot of people working on like these VRs and stuff, but my problem is there's a lot of copycats, and I think those are the ones that are going to give it a bad name, and that's going to make me and others not even buy the device at all. You know, there's Oculus, there's the PlayStation VR, Valve has another one they're working on, and there's a lot more others out there, you know, but it's like there's too many VRs out there, man.
Yeah.
Too many. So it's like, which one I should go for? Should I go with Oculus? Should I go with PlayStation? Like, and I think some of them you need a PC in order to play it too. I think it's the Valve, right? Is it the Valve one that you need a?
Well, yeah, of course. Valve's product is going to be PC targeted, I'm sure. And Oculus, I think, already announced when theirs hits the mass market.
Well, I know
with an Xbox controller.
Yeah, the Xbox. I was going to mention that right now. Yeah. So, I don't know.
I get your concern though with the extra people. Like, we think of Sony, we think of Oculus, we think of Valve. And then when you mentioned, and there's other companies, those other companies they want to make a good product, probably, but they are also there to make cash and cash in as quick as possible. So I could see them releasing their stuff earlier, going, it's VR.
VR, check
and
it
them,
out here.
Them being the staple that's in stores and screwed up and messes it up for everybody else.
Yeah, you try the Samsung VR one, right?
I've tried the Samsung VR, yeah.
I
didn't play any games on it. I did the
demos,
kind of demo videos that came with it, and it's cool. You know, I think one of them was Cirque du Soleil. You're like on stage during practice, and you see them, you know, performing their stunts.
And you also flip too?
No, I didn't flip. God, no, don't even play. I probably would have vomited right then and there.
Oh, my back.
Yeah, but it's cool. I mean, I'm there. I feel like I'm on the stage. I'm looking around. I could look out into the crowd. I see people practicing up to my left. I look to my right. I see a clown practicing juggling or something like that. There's another one that's like a helicopter ride, I think, around New York City or Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And that one's really cool. I mean, I didn't get any motion sickness this time.
So it was more video that you just watched.
Yeah, this was a video. It definitely wasn't. I haven't done any gameplay on the Samsung Gear VR. I've done a little gameplay on an old version of the Oculus. This was 2 years ago, though. So, you know, I'm anticipating that they've improved the experience vastly.
Well, I know PlayStation announced a price drop in Japan for the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. Predictions, when do you think it's coming to the States? I think maybe they'll have an announcement during the PlayStation Experience. There's a bunch of community people there, you know, the hardcore fans. I think that will work for them to announce it there. Or have it close to the launch of Uncharted 4, which comes out spring of 2016. I think that will be a perfect time to, like, hey, look, we have an exclusive bundle for cheap. What, $350 maybe or less? $300 Well, they can't put it at $300 I think that would be a little bit too cheap.
Yeah, if you drop it down $100 Well, you know,
$349
It wouldn't be surprising. Yeah, if they and they bundled the two, I would say more the PlayStation Experience because you can get that. The PlayStation Experience is what, December 5th and 6th
Yeah, the first weekend of December.
You get 3 weeks of good sales leading up to Christmas, where you can just blow people out of the water with that. But they could get some bad vibes from people that went out Black Friday and got PlayStations and whatnot.
That's the tricky part.
So they might want to space it out to Uncharted. I don't think that it gets all the way to E3. If it does get to E3, we're going to see a new version of the console, maybe a Slim, whatever it is, with the price drop.
Now, what about Nintendo and Xbox? I mean, Xbox, they lowered down last year.
That was a necessity because they were
in trouble. Had to because that was like too much. I think they might do that again to compete with Sony.
Drop it 50 or something like that.
I think they have to.
Because I know we were talking behind the scenes, like, are they planning to release a Slim version? Do you think it's possible 2016 Xbox doing that to compete with Sony? Is Sony going to release a Slim version too next year?
Yeah, I've heard the rumors. I mean, I personally know. I know you disagree. I personally don't think. I feel like it's too soon. But you were saying that you think it's
now.
Console cycle.
Technology is different now. Like, everything is. Yeah. It's been going fast with everything. Phones every year, they could do the same thing with consoles. Like, I see that happening. Yeah. They're not going to take ten years to release a Slim version. I don't think so,
man. This console generation is not going to be as long as the last one. No. I know that when all the consoles were coming out, people were like, these are the last consoles. That's stupid. No. It's not going to be. But I can see them lasting 5 years. It's not going to go out to 7, 8, or 9.
I agree.
It's not possible. Or, I mean, we were already talking about Nintendo's new console, and they released the Wii U in 2012, which is hilarious that there's no optical disc and there's nobody with pitchforks making YouTube videos like they did for Xbox. It's like,
well, it's because nobody has a Wii U.
That too. But I can see Sony and Microsoft announcing a console, guys. All digital, strictly digital. You don't need no Blu-ray disc, none of that stuff. Just download our content and we'll make it for we'll have it for cheap for like what, $300?
That would actually be smart if they just, you know, if Xbox, especially with if they tied in Minecraft to it and a whole bunch, like a few of their different IPs, and said, you know, this is the family center, and made it for $200-$250 digital only.
I think
no
that would
optical.
Be way too cheap, way too soon.
I think that would be them trying to make good on a lot of investments that they've made, especially if they based it around Minecraft. Because they got the HoloLens that they're going hard with for Minecraft. If they threw together like a little box and just said, this is our digital only thing, because they had the tech there, they were ready for it, but they just botched the whole entire layout of it and made people hate them.
Okay, all right. Well, look, guys, we're gonna wrap it up now. And the cool thing is that on Wednesday we're gonna have a brand new episode of GTR. So it's two episodes this week, so that's gonna be big. One is from here, from New York, live. And the next episode, live from London, Pete and Paris, man, they got some goodies. And it's exclusive, of course. The only podcast is there covering this cool thing that's going on behind the scenes. But anything you wanted to say? Because we're going to also record another episode for next week. So you guys got to tune in for that. Anything you want to say before we wrap it up?
I thank you for having me on. We've known each other for a few years, and I always enjoy your podcast. And I think everybody should subscribe to it, hold it close, and enjoy it.
Oh, thank you, sir. Butter?
No, man. For me, like I said, it's been a few years, I think, since I've been on this thing, and I haven't had the opportunity to come on here and actually say these words, although I've said them on Twitter. But again, congratulations on all you've accomplished these past couple months, man. Hall of Famer. I run around telling people that I used to be a part of this now. I'm so I'm so honored to have been a part of it. And that's cool. You know, you guys were an inspiration you know, to get me to do what I'm doing now. So yeah, much deserved.
You should mention that story, man. How he changed from a journalist to a developer because of a very interesting story.
Yeah. So back when I was a part of Gamertag Radio, we went to E3 2012. That was my first E3. Completely overwhelming and awesome experience. And you know, I was doing the writing thing. I wrote for GTR. I did some freelance work for the Miami Herald. I was working PR for the government at the time as my full-time gig. And, you know, games was something I really wanted to write about for a living. So it was great being a part of GTR, going to E3, going through that whole experience. And I found myself, you know, when I got back home and I'm kind of going through the E3 withdrawals and I'm thinking about all the things I saw, the people I met, you know, I started thinking, you know, I've always loved games. I've always felt like I wanted to write about games for a living. But after seeing the folks who were working behind the scenes, working on these products, getting to show them off, I realized that, you know, maybe I don't want to write about them. Maybe I think what I want is to be really close and be really hands-on with the development of these products. Mm-hmm. And I think a few months later, I quit my job.
Yes.
I applied.
I was like, gotta make moves, man. Go for yours, man.
Yeah, I applied for graduate school at Full Sail University. Got my master's degree a year later in video game production, and you know the rest is history. Now I'm working as a producer for a studio here in New York.
That's dope. And, that's really dope. Really a cool building too. Not gonna say the location, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool studio, and you know I'm grateful in it, and I have you to thank. You know, you guys were, you know, you brought me in with open arms and were an inspiration, and I'm honored to have been a part of it.
Dope, man. Awesome, man. Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah. All right, guys, so we're going to wrap it up. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes and give us a call, 786-273-7GTR, or email us fanmail at GamertagRadio.com. Tune in, episode 503. Remember, the next episode, 504, is with Pete and Paris live in London. Take care.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.